A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
Presented by UFirst Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Hans, it's time for the weekly Kyle Whittingham press conference. It's a okay, all right day. In case you just listened to the station for the first time, Hans and I, you know, in radio, we call them crutches, words that you use a lot because they just come naturally to you. Well, Kyle Whittingham has a couple of crutches. He starts every press conference with either okay or all right. Hans and I noticed this about 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it usually is depending on his mood. So you backed your way into a Pac-12 championship game. Everything went your way. You had a blowout victory against Colorado. Does it feel like an okay or all right day?
You hit it last week with okay. No, yeah.
It was okay last week.
Last week was okay. I was very adamant with an all right. This is an all right day. It is an all right day. I called all right last week, but I was off. That was coming off an Oregon loss. Now you get the Colorado win. I think you go back to reliable. All right. I think he's all business. Okay, I think is just a little bit more flighty.
Huh. You know what? I think he's in a bit of an okay rut.
So you think it's okay?
I think I'm going to go okay.
Give me all right.
All right. I've got okay. Hans has got all right. Here he is, Kyle Whittingham addressing the media.
Okay. Championship week. First of all, we're thrilled to be back in the championship, obviously. You know, a lot of things had to line up for us. They all transpired. Our team did a really good job of taking care of our business. The game was never really in doubt. Played extremely well on offense, piled up a bunch of yards. Defensively, we didn't give up much at all. So a really good outing by the football team on Saturday. Big challenge this week. We find ourselves in a very similar situation as last year. Playing a team we already beat one time in league play, and as we all know, very difficult to beat a really good team twice, but that's what our challenge is. SC is ultra talented, very efficient on offense. I know they're not number one on total offense, but they're number one in yards per play, which is to me more important than the total offensive number. Quarterback is terrific. Number one passer efficiency rating in the conference. Scoring, they lead the league in scoring as well. Excuse me, about 42 points a game. And probably their most impressive statistic overall, without a doubt, in my opinion, is their turnover margin. I mean, they've only turned it over four times and gained 27, I think it is, or plus 23. That's got to be, if not number one in the nation, close to it. And so that's really been the biggest factor in their successful season is how they take care of the football and how they take it away on defense. So got a big challenge, like I said. It's you know, it's short turnaround for both teams, so no advantage or disadvantage there. And we have our work cut out for us, and we'll go to work today back on the field, fly down there Thursday and line up on Friday night in Allegiant Stadium, and away we go. So questions.
Okay. Now, how has your defense improved since that last game that you played against them? Do you feel like you have everybody kind of bought in to where you feel like you can do a better job this way?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had, people not bought in. It's just a matter of the defense maturing, guys gaining experience. And really, that was the onset of the defense kind of pivoting and making a reversal and playing well. Was the second half of that game. We played extremely well in the second half of that USC game. And from that point on, we played pretty good defense. And again, just the way that our guys have grown up, I guess you could say, this year. And great job by Coach Scally and his staff getting them ready every week. Great job by the players taking the preparation process dead serious and making sure that we don't have any wasted time on the field or in the meeting room. And so it's a very business-like approach with our defense. And they've really played some good football, like I said, as of late.
A handful of guys are playing in their third tackle championship game.
We have some that are in their fourth.
I was going to say, Jalen, just what does that say about the state of your program, where it's been, and just how far?
Well, I think it speaks volumes, and we're in the, you know, the fourth and 4 years, really, because, again, nobody counts COVID. Nobody. And so that's out. But we do have, I asked for a raise of hands in the team meeting, and I think there was half a dozen hands went up that have been in all four games. But to be able to represent, well, we're not representing the South, but to be able to be in that game now for four years running is a real testament to, you know, our football team, the talent level of players that we have in the program, the you know, just how dedicated they are to what they do and how bought in they are.
But that's why you recruited those guys to be in this position, right?
No question. That's why you recruit. You recruit to try to win championships and get to the championship and win a bunch of games and won 9 games in the regular season, which, you know, we're not saying we're thrilled with that, but that speaks also to the level of where we're at when you think of a 9-3 season is not quite what you're after.
The running back room seems to be constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jaquindon prove himself as maybe an RB1?
He took a step forward. There's no doubt about that, and had a really good showing, over 100 yards, protected the football, had really good ball security, and we grade ball security. It's not just putting the ball on the ground. It's how we call it flags. You know, we flag ball security issues when the ball comes away and it's in a vulnerable position, even if it doesn't come out, and his ball security grade went way up and is where it needs to be. And Makai Bernard showed you some good things. He had a chance to get out and run. You saw him on the opponent's sideline there, where he really hit the juice and made a nice run. Jalen Glover came in and gave us some quality carries as well again. So, but to answer your question, JJ is really starting to, and we've been saying this for a few weeks now, settle in and be productive.
Kyle, what is Dalton's status right now?
Dalton's status, we expect him to play. And so it's going to be not a guarantee, but we'll see what happens.
Kyle, obviously you had tape going into the last time against USC, but mm-hmm. obviously the game, you know, actually being played, changes. How much does that change your preparation now that you have seen USC? Does it change?
Well, you got to tweak things a little bit. And one thing they have done since we played them, they were a 10 personnel heavy team with 11 being the second group. And that's flip flopped. 11 now is their, they've gone more to 11 personnel. Those percentages almost did a 180 with each other. And so that means different personnel on the field for us when they're in 11 as opposed to when they're in 10. And they seem to have really settled into that 11 personnel grouping and getting you know, most of their snaps out of that group.
What was the roller coaster of Saturday like? When did you find out that the ball?
Yeah, that was a roller coaster.
How big of a Husky fan did you turn into?
A huge Husky fan, yeah. And but when it was 31-10, because I got an update when it was 31-10, Oregon, you know, and somebody said, you know, the little game cast thing on ESPN said 99.3% chance of winning or something like that. That was a little bit of a downer, but again, we were just worried about what we could control, and we were just hoping for the other stuff to happen. But once that did the reversal, I started getting you know, a steady flow of updates with about 7 or 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of our game, and that's when that game was winding down, and couldn't believe it when they had pulled it off. And then, of course, it was all down to one game that night, and we were all glued to our TV that night watching the Huskies and Washington State.
So what's the post-game conversation like with your players? You took care of the business you can take care of. Now we'll all go watch the Huskies and see if they do it?
Pretty much, yeah. And it was, you know, the Oregon game was in the books at that point, and we said, hey, three of the four things have happened, and we need one more to go, and we'll see if the stars align for us. And they did. And then, you know, some people say, well, you backed Georgia way to the championship. No, we won the games we needed to win to get there. You know, I don't know what backdoor means. I mean, we won seven games and the right seven games to get into the championship. So that's our stance.
That mathematically, you thought no divisions would be harder, but yet if they had divisions, you wouldn't be going this year.
Yeah, I guess that's right. So it turned out to work in our favor in this particular instance, and it is harder mathematically. I mean, I guess I'm not a mathematician, but if you got to be better than 10 teams, that's to get to the championship, that's harder than being better than five teams. So, does that make sense in your brain? No. Okay.
Coach,
oh, go ahead, well, Justin. Let's get your complaint out of the way here.
Justin's question is: coming off a weekend where we've seen teams use their run game to control high-power pass-first opponents, can we expect Utah to try and establish the run with Michael Bernard and Jaquindon Jackson early versus USC?
Good point. Good point, and that is a common practice. How I would answer that is we always try to establish the run. We always try to, and in fact, I believe we're number one in the league in time of possession, which we are almost every year, or at least in the top one or two or three. And that's our MO, so nothing different for us in that regard. But yeah, there are teams that you try to shorten the game and limit possessions, but again, that's something that we do on a weekly basis.
How do you feel about the state of your offensive line right now as opposed to the USC game when you didn't allow them to get sacked on camp?
Really good. And we got the same five, and we've, you know, knock on wood, we've been able to stay relatively healthy there. We've had a little shuffling of the deck here and there, but no major overhauls on the O-line, and we got the same five right now that have been starting most of the year that will be ready for this game.
How does having all that experience in the Pac-12 championship game?
I think it helps a lot. I mean, it's in the stage shouldn't be too big. I mean, we got guys that have been there and done that, and like we said, you know, a handful of guys that have been to four of them now are going to their fourth one, and you know, experience in that regard is a good thing, and you know, I think that that will play in our favor.
Kyle, you said after the first UFC game that you expected Dalton to have a big night. Certainly not as big as he did, but in hindsight, why do you think he was that effective that day?
Well, he's just been getting. And I don't want to make it sound like he wasn't good at the onset, but we've just been featuring him more and more, and he's made more and more plays. I mean, you saw the catch he made that he got dinged up on in the Colorado game. That was spectacular. And so it's just a matter of continuing to maximize his skill set and understanding how incredible that skill set is. I can't still believe he's not on the Mackey or whatever the watch list is. Is that the right one, Mackey? Biletnikoff, which is crazy, but he's... was he third or fourth in the league right now in receptions per game, and that's missing a game or two, and of course that is based on how many you've played, but he's a terrific talent. Bottom line, he's a terrific talent, and he is a guy that every week we need to target him a bunch of times.
You anticipate that USC, because he hurt them so bad in the last game, that they'll make adjustments based on his presence, and that opens things up for everyone else?
Would think so, yeah. If I'm them and seeing what he's doing and what he did to that particular team last time we played, I'm sure they'll have some sort of tactic to try to slow him down a little bit.
Caleb Williams was great the first time you played him.
It's been great every game. Show me a game where he's not great. Yeah.
Is he even better now that he's, whatever, six more games in?
I would say yes. I think he just keeps getting better and better. He's maybe the most difficult quarterback to sack that we've ever come across that is also a great throwing threat. I mean, we've played some athletic quarterbacks that were really like a wide receiver playing QB or whatever, but as far as a true QB, nobody harder to sack than that guy. He keeps the plays alive. He extends the plays. He keeps his eyes downfield incredibly well during the scrambles. You know, he very rarely glances at the rush. He's always just seeing it peripherally, and he seems like he's got eyes in the back of his head. I mean, some of the escapes that he has are just fantastic. And so, yeah, and he's only 20 years old, you know, second year out of high school, a true sophomore. So what he's doing is pretty, very impressive, and odds on favorite to win the Heisman, I guess, if that's, you know, what we're hearing nationally.
They had Travis Dye. He's out here now. Austin Jones just picks up everything.
He has picked it up and done a great job, and there's been no drop-off. A different style of player than Dye, but the results are the same, and the production is the same, if not better. I mean, he's really, really ran the football well for him.
Kyle,
What's driven the evolution of the defense? Early on, obviously, there's a lot of missed tackles and issues there. Now you guys have finished the regular season top 20 nationally.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we've grown up in a lot of areas, a lot of position groups, didn't have a ton of experience early on. We weren't playing very fundamentally sound. We were leaving gaps. We were technique-wise not real good. We weren't tackling real well early in the season, and we just continued to get better and better as the season wore on. And as I mentioned, the real turning point seemed to be the second half of the USC game, and since that point, we've been really stingy on defense.
How difficult do you think it is to do what Lincoln Riley has done year one and turn around the culture and then get his team to Pac-12
camp? A lot easier than it used to be because the transfer portal. I mean, it's all. I mean, that you saw. You know, several teams this year have a, you know, almost a complete 180 because of talent brought in through the portal, and that has really changed things. And you're going to see that, I think, more often. Teams making big improvements or going the other way, you know, if you lose a bunch of guys through the portal. And so that really has made things no longer a 3 or 4 year project. It's turned into a 1 or 2 year project.
How many times have you coached against a Heisman Trophy winner if he ends up winning?
I don't know. Ever? I don't know. Did Mariota? Mariota won it, so that would be one. I think that might be it. I mean, you guys probably would know the answer to that better than me, but maybe just the one.
I'll follow up on what Sean just asked. It usually takes something significant for a West Coast-based player to become a Heisman finalist. Why do you think that the West Coast players really don't get as much love as guys in the Midwest and the East?
Well, simplistically, probably the time slots that we play in the Pac-12. I mean, it's 2 a.m. in the East Coast when we're finishing up games oftentimes, and I just don't think they get the exposure and the eyeballs on them, and you know, that's my best answer because I can't think of, you know, anything else. I mean, right now we're, you know, the conference has what, six in the top 25, is that right? 6 teams, so we're playing good football, so there's no you know, saying, well, the competition and all that is not that great out there, because it is. It's really good. And so that would be my only response to that is it's got to be the timing of the games and how few people on the East Coast see the games in their entirety.
Any thoughts on David Shaw stepping down?
I respect David a ton. Tremendous football coach, tremendous person. Gave back to the game constantly, always doing something to stay involved in the peripheral, you know, not necessarily just, you know, in the football realm, but, you know, rules committee, competition committee. I mean, everything. He's involved and is a very smart individual. He'll be back in coaching. I can pretty much guarantee it. Maybe not right away, but he's too good a coach to stay out. So it took me by surprise, though.
He did say, maybe you heard it, he did say at his press conference this morning, "I'm stepping away, I'm not retiring." So he made it.
I didn't hear that, but I must be a good predictor then, because that's what I would think, but again, it, you know, there just comes a time for everybody when it's time.
Now, last year you obviously had a lot to gain by winning. Obviously you have a lot to gain this year as well, but when USC comes in, they have potential playoff, Heisman, mm-hmm. whatever those things are. Does that change kind of maybe your mentality and how you approach the game?
Well, you know, pretty much everyone's got them winning already and going to the playoffs, and Caleb winning the Heisman, and you know, that's already kind of been talked about. So we love that role. We love the chip on our shoulder, the nobody giving us a chance, and we seem to thrive in that capacity and in that world. And so we'll see.
Is Phillips in Friday?
We hope so. We hope so. Yeah, I can't say definitively right now, but we hope so.
How confident are you in your ability to get pressure with 4 on loose?
Well, getting pressure with 4 is one thing, and keeping him caged in is another. I mean, you can get there, but you can't sack him because he's so elusive, and he's strong, too. I mean, he is so strong. There's so many defenders during the course of the season that have dripped right off him because you just can't get him down. And so it's not as much a function of how many you're bringing, but try to keep him in a cage and not let him get out on the edges, because when he gets out on the edges, he's dangerous. I mean, he's dangerous anywhere, but particularly dangerous when he escapes outside.
Coaching changes in the Pac-12, how much does it change recruiting, even though the signing date is close? There have been some guys who've already decommitted mm-hmm. because of coaching changes. So how much is that just a constant evolution and churn, these 3 changes in the league?
It's a constant evolution and churn, for sure. And with the Stanford situation, you're going to see some ripple effects on people, you know, maybe rethinking things, and that's always the case. So anytime there's a coaching change, particularly when the you know particular recruits were really attached to the head coach and had a great relationship, that's going to dissuade them from signing there and to go ahead and look elsewhere.
Would you have been prepared to coach a Power 5 team at age 32? Kenny Dillingham is 32 years of age. He just got the ASU job. Uh-huh. Would you have been ready to take on a job that big at 32?
I would say very doubtful. I mean, I can't remember where I was at 32. Where was I, Jordy? Idaho State? I don't know. That's a big ask, and that's a there you go, Justin knows. So I wasn't ready at whatever I was. I mean, it's almost impossible to say, yeah, you're ready, because as ready as you think you are, when you get in that chair, it's a challenge, and it's everything is new, and until you've gone through a cycle or two, and you can kind of get your feet on the ground, and okay, I've been through this, I know that, and then, you know, it's very difficult. But I don't know him personally, but obviously he's a, you know, a rising star in the profession, did a great job at Oregon, and he may be very well equipped to take it on right now. So I can't speak for him, but I know it would have been a challenge for me.
There you go, Kyle Whittingham, wide variety of topics, including David Shaw, including becoming a coach for the first time, all of those things. It's not an easy situation for sure.
Talking about Arizona State's new head coach at the young age of 32, and he said, I don't even know where I was at 32. Because our guy Sean O'Connell asked him, would you be ready to take on something like that, age 32? Kyle goes, no.
No.
No, not a shot at him, but no, I don't even know where I was at 32. The truth is, I don't think if it matters if you're 32 or 45, you're taking a head coaching job for the first time at that level. I think that there is a massive learning curve.
So, did I show you that video? I think we were at a Football Friday when I showed you that video that got posted when Ron McBride had a press conference. Well, not a press conference. This is his weekly TV show with Bill Markroft. And he introduced Kyle Whittingham as his new D-line coach.
I saw that video.
And Kyle's still rocking the mustache. Well, that was 1994.
Kyle probably rode his bike to get there.
Kyle was born in 1959, so that would have put him at 35, 36, when he became the D-line coach at the University of Utah, coming from Idaho State. Jeez,
so trim.
So he's
40
in his,
years off that.
He's in his early to mid-30s. When he finally gets to, you know, outside of the FCS ranks at the University of Utah. And then it won't be until 12 years later. So he's, what, 45, 46, when he finally becomes the head coach of the University of Utah in 2005.
After being looked over.
What do you guys think?
The Urban Meyer hire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think it would have been tough to him for him to get the job after Ron McBride, but Urban Meyer comes in and goes, no, we got to keep that guy. That didn't take long at all.
What do you guys think has changed? The coaches seem to be getting younger. What has changed over the years?
Probably dealing with the young athletes. It feels like there's such a different relationship that you have to have now with young people that maybe older coaches don't know or don't have. I also think maybe a bit of the old school doesn't want to deal with the name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Don't you think these younger coaches are more up to date or down with the ability to listen to the feelings and problems and issues of the players?
Yeah.
Where old school coaches are like, I don't, what did you say? No, just
you know, just what?
Go play on Saturday.
Go run some ladders. I don't want to hear from you right now. Give me some up downs.
Don't you feel like the younger coaches maybe a little bit more into with that?
Well, and I think guys get opportunities earlier as well. Like, it's like, you know, you never used to start a freshman quarterback, right? Never, ever, ever would you ever start a true freshman quarterback. Now, true freshmen are starting all the time in college football.
Yeah.
Because I think they're prepared earlier. The coaching is way better at an earlier age. I think the same thing applies to coaches as well.
I also wonder,
I mean,
if
the Rams coach, what's his name?
McVay,
he got the job as a head coach of the Rams when he was like 35.
I was actually going to just bring him up as an example. I wonder if some of these younger coaches that have been given the opportunity that have succeeded, if that isn't kind of the inspiration for, oh, let's find the next big thing. Like the Will Hardy hire for Utah Jazz is kind of the, let's find the next best thing.
Yes.
And the Jazz have been doing that a little bit with Quinn Snyder, and we've seen some of that in the NBA. Not that Quinn was extremely young, but yeah, those are some of my best guesses, Lloyd. I don't know if you got any thoughts to add on that, but feels like some of these younger coaches have had some success.
Well, and I think a lot of ADs wanted to, and general managers, if you look at the NBA level, they want a guy that's really paid their dues. You know, a guy who's really come up the ranks. And honestly, it's not a bad idea because...
Did you say that with baseball?
No, with NBA.
NBA, I got you.
But let's be honest here. There's some truth to that, too, because you have guys that have spent... I think there's a lot of good reasons why you should hire guys that have spent time as a head coach somewhere, whether the college level or in the even the G League, because the mistake that Will Hardy made the other night against Phoenix,
oh yeah,
was an egregious mistake
defending against Booker.
Yeah, it was a dumb mistake, and he knew it. Afterwards, you could tell he was really upset with himself because he knew he screwed up. Guess what? You make that mistake at the random insert your own G League team there. Okay, nobody knows. Nobody knows what you did. Nobody knows you screwed up. You sure do. And you know you screwed it up. And then you go, okay, I messed up. I will never do that again. Will Hardy's never going to make that mistake again. It's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot easier to make that mistake at the G League and nobody knows about it, nobody cares about it, than when you do it in a late November NBA game in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on TV and 20,000 people in an arena. So youth is nice and there's a lot of upside to it, but also know that you're going to get some mistakes along the way.
It's going to come with a curb.
Yeah.
How old is Lincoln Riley?
I think he's pushing 40 now. I think he's over
40. But he's under 40?
I don't know. Hold on. I'll give you it.
He seemed young when you and I had an opportunity to talk with him.
39. Oh, there you go. 39 years old. Man, I feel
Look old. What he's doing.
Yeah. Born in 83.
Dan Lanning's probably in that range.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Hans and Scotty, Mark's with us from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, even in your 30s or 40s, those are guys that are probably coming into Wasatch Medical. It's hitting guys at all ages now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the data shows the prevalence is increasing in guys in their 40s, as young as 40. So, yes, at any age, this could happen from the 20s all the way up to the 90s, and we treat patients in that broad range age range as well. So, guys, you're not alone. That's one thing to know. The other thing to know is that when we're talking about ED, Wasatch Medical Clinic is the place to go because we are going to treat the root cause of ED, that being a lack of blood flow for most guys. So if your issue is a lack of blood flow, then our acoustic wave therapy is going to be a great treatment for you.
And it all starts with an opportunity to go in, you meet with a physician, you get the ultrasound, you get all of that for free just to see if you can make an educated decision on how you want to proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, also know that it's this acoustic wave therapy, there's no pain involved. It is non-invasive. You can come in on your lunch hour, walk out 15 minutes later and feel fine. Most guys, it's going to take a few treatments over a course of a 2 to 3 week period, and those treatments last about 15 minutes each. So just know that this is non-invasive, no side effects like what you get with the pills, no pain like what you can get with the injections, and those other treatments only treat the symptoms. They really mask the root cause. So acoustic wave therapy, call us at Wasatch Medical Clinic now. You're going to get the assessment, the exam, even the blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. That's when you guys and your significant others will like. So give us a call now, 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
That's the number to call, 801-901-8000, right here on The Zone.
Once again, championship game. Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Watch out, count three. One, two, three. Yeah.
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotting, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous Monday. What a week. Crazy. At no point did we ever feel like, and a lot of things had to go Utah's way. And to think Oregon's up 31-10 against Oregon State. 31-10.
Middle or end of the third quarter. Oregon State went off.
Yeah.
They did not have an empty offensive possession.
No.
In the fourth quarter.
Pac-12 refs winked at each other and said, we got this.
We got you.
We got you.
Which is crazy because, honestly, when you look at Oregon State, they're loaded at every position except for one. And so they were able to, you know, get past all of that and still find a way to
And that one position is a big one, by the way.
It is. It is.
So you're saying they've got 21 other positions that are filled? Well. Yep.
And a QB's not one.
I was thinking of a way to work that in, but good job by you. Yeah. No, honestly, if I'm a transfer portal quarterback, Oregon State's not a bad place to look at.
Yeah, he's got that program.
Jump in and win pretty quick there.
Yeah.
Exceptional outcome. This turned this week into a really fun week of football coverage, expectations, because we're still going to be waiting on BYU's bowl game announcement, Utah State's bowl game announcement. Still have plenty of Jazz taking place. For those of you that like this kind of stuff, the World Cup or whatever is going on.
Hey, tomorrow we get to have score updates, right?
Yes, we do.
Because it's going during
our
show.
We did it today because I feel like we also are, the Portuguese team is one of ours as well. I mean, it is the homeland.
Hey, Lloyd, what did the United States do that has just ticked off Iran? Did you see that whole story?
They did something to their flag.
Yeah, they changed their flag or put up the wrong flag, and Iran is just spicy.
Well, if you would like an update, you could ask me about it.
All right, time for your World Cup update right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, Lloyd, what's going on with Iran's flag?
Yes.
Hey, was it the Iranians that were coming after Doc Brown in Back to the Future?
Yes, it was. Actually, it
Afghanis.
Was.
No,
I think it was the Iranians. They found me.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scotty. You got this one.
That seems wrong to me, but I am not the best.
Oh, Libyan. That's it. It was Libya.
I thought you had.
Sorry.
But that was it.
Sorry. Now Iran's going to want 20 games of U.S. being suspended. I apologize.
Oh, jeez. See, these are the things that just drive me nuts. There's your World Cup update. Brought to you
by the way, one more before we wrap up. Lloyd, did the United States score against England?
No.
And there is your official World Cup update.
It was a draw.
It was a nil-nil draw.
Man, you almost got me there. I was like, oh. Oh, did
you know what? Whenever it's soccer and you don't know, and somebody asks you if they scored a goal, you say no, because there's a real good chance you'll be right.
Probably
sounds
right.
Like a fun one.
That's what I went with.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Hello, Wildcats.
Scotty, we have a playoff rematch between...
Hello, Wildcats.
Weber State and Montana State. Cannot wait. This one kicks off Saturday at 1 p.m. in Bozeman, Montana.
If you don't have it already ready, you better have your chili cheese nachos ready for this game.
And if you need a recipe, maybe Lloyd, Scotty, and myself can help you a little later in the week. With that chili cheese nacho recipe.
Careful, it's hot.
Don't burn yourself.
The game's going to be streamed on ESPN Plus. So Weber State finishes at 10-2 with that 38-31 win over North Dakota and now moves on to this Montana State game. For those of you that missed the last time Montana State and Weber State matched up, it was a 43-38 win for Montana State, but as we mentioned earlier in the show, Weber State decided that they were going to snap every single punt, snap it right over the punter's head.
Oh, boy, it was so bad. Four safeties set a college football record for most safeties in a game, and it wasn't your traditional safety. No, it was snaps going over the head of the punter that would go out of bounds.
I didn't realize this, that Weber State had a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, look, Weber State jumped out to a big lead in that game, and then all the safeties happened and allowed Montana State to get back in that game. Honestly, when you watch that game, it was pretty easy to get the vibe that Weber State was far and away the better team. Mm-hmm.
Then I talked about this in our Morning After podcast. If you didn't listen, we did give you a Weber State update. 330 yards rushing.
That's awesome.
330 yards rushing against North Dakota. So great job there. I just would love to see Weber State redeem themselves in a big win against Montana State on the road.
By the way, I do think that we need a little bit of a house cleaning update. Did you get in trouble? Because I wasn't sure. I was talking, or maybe you were talking, and then all of a sudden we hear somebody getting chastised in the background. And I didn't know if it was Jessica or Amanda, but then you said, hey guys, time to shut it down. Time to shut it down. I'm like, oh, that must have been hands then.
What? What are you looking at me like that for?
Who was it? Was it me?
Because
I got yelled at. I didn't realize it came across air.
Because I know it wasn't me. And
no, it wasn't me.
And you were the only one that immediately after say, okay, guys, well, this has been fun, but I need to go home.
I did have to move on down the line.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. Yeah. So my church starts at 9.
Yeah. Got that early block, huh?
And our Morning After podcast kind of pushes up against.
It gets close.
8:58.
We always try to start at 8, but we never do.
And 100% of the time I'm doing that podcast in my jammies.
Yeah.
And my wife happened to walk by the office and saw that I was in my jammies and looked at the clock, and she did yell something mean. And I didn't realize it came.
Can't they slide your church to like 10? They know what you're doing, right? No, they slide it to 10?
Nobody slides their church for no one.
Who do I talk to about it?
Coach Mack? Like would Coach Mack help me?
Yeah, I'm sure Coach Mack will come in and plead the case.
Isn't he a branch authority?
Sure. Honorary, but why not? Mm. All right, one more, Lloyd. Spin it.
UNLV is a special kind of stupid.
Oh, boy, UNLV, what have you done? Look, your football team has been abysmal. They've been abysmal for a long, long time. And now they're showing a little bit of sign of life. They're 5-7, and because they've got a good APR, they could receive a waiver at 5-7 to go to a bowl game. That's coming off a 2020 season when they were 0-6 under Marcus Arroyo. A first year on the job in the middle of COVID, nobody's going to expect much out of him. The next year, he goes 2-10. The year after that, he goes 5-7. That, to me, is progress, right? Zero wins, mm-hmm. two wins,
upward
five
trend.
Wins, yeah. maybe even a bowl game. And UNLV said, no, you're fired. Marcus Arroyo is out as head coach at UNLV. Makes no sense to me.
Okay. The only sense I can make of this.
Well, I think I know where you're going. Oh. I tweeted out the same thing.
Oh, go ahead. What did you...
Well, my thought is...
I don't know where you're at on this. I've got a thought, but...
You only make a move on a guy that's making a lot of progress unless, in case you know you've got somebody who you really like that will take the job. Breaking news, John Gruden, next head coach at UNLV.
That's definitely not where I was going, but I like it.
I was like, wait, what?
I'm kidding.
I like it.
All right, where are you going?
Bold.
Well, Las Vegas has turned into a sports city.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if they've got some type of flashy hire that they feel like is going to make this a more entertaining show.
Yeah.
To possibly build a newer, better stadium and make college football a central.
I mean, they play their games at Allegiant.
You know? Yeah, but building their own college environment. And making it a college town or a college football town. Now, along with the NBA, along with the NFL, or sorry, not the NBA, along with the NFL, along with the NHL, and it's just a matter of time before they get Major League Baseball and NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
It is headed to Vegas.
Correct.
And I just wonder if they're thinking that way. There's no way they just fired him because he's not performing. He's performing
yes.
to where he needed to be performing.
This makes me think they've got somebody lined up that they're really fired up about. Or they have a shot at somebody they're really fired up about. Because you don't fire a guy that's made this much progress unless, A, there's some kind of controversy that hasn't come out yet, and that may very well be the case, off the field or something like that. Or that there is a slam dunk, oh my gosh, we can't believe we just snagged this guy kind of higher coming down the pipeline. But at the end of the day, still UNLV. Who could that guy possibly be? That's why I joked about John Gruden. Like, who could UNLV have lined up that would automatically be like, oh my gosh, what? How did this happen? And I don't know who that, I don't know, Deion Sanders? Of course not.
Like, he's not taking that job.
No, of course not. So I don't know who that guy could be. I think it just comes back down to Lloyd's headline. UNLV may just be a special kind of stupid.
Probably is.
Not great.
That's what they do.
But John Gruden.
They do stupid well.
John Gruden to the UNLV. Let's get that rumor train going. I like it. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again.
Championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Watch out, call three. One, two, three. Yeah!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hi. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Hello, Wildcats. This is Weber Cook, and today we're doing chili cheese nachos.
Let's go! Chili cheese nachos for Bozeman.
Man, that sounds so good.
Grab a bag of chips, throw a little chili and cheese in the microwave, nuke that all together. Careful, it's hot. And you pour it all over those chips.
It's not that tough of a recipe.
No.
Speaking of Weber.
It'll feed a family of four or five. you've not seen the Weber Cooks video, you owe it to yourself to watch them.
Speaking of Weber State, would Jay Hill leave for a coordinating position?
I don't know.
You say he's making probably around $300,000.
I'd say that's about right, yeah.
My guess is that BYU defensive coordinator position would pay anywhere from $600,000 to $800,000.
Yeah. Now that you're in the Big 12, you got that Big 12 money.
Yeah, so you could double your salary. You stay in the state. At one point, one of Jay's daughters was attending BYU.
Okay.
I don't know if she's still there, but at one point.
But doesn't it feel like Jay is the football, what Randy Ray was the basketball?
A lifer?
Like.
And Weber?
Just. Yeah.
No.
He just.
Not to me.
Loves that place.
Not to me as much. I think that the timing with his kids and everything has been right for him to stay at Weber, and I think that they've kept him very happy, but he's got to be getting a little bit antsy. And
yeah,
you wonder how many jobs you can turn down before you have to take one. Because we know, Scotty and I have inside information that there have been multiple jobs offered to Jay.
Correct. Yes.
And he's turned them down. You would imagine that Colorado State or UNLV or Liberty or any one of these number of jobs that have just recently opened, you would think that he would have interest in them. Maybe Colorado. I don't know. Maybe they're looking for something out of the box. We talked a little bit about Tulsa or Western Michigan, all these jobs that are open right now. But if they're not coming to call, then you start thinking, well, I got to start maximizing. I got to start really making money while I've got a big name and a big brand. Because that's what Jay has right now.
Yeah.
And he just keeps betting on himself. Saying, I know I'm good enough that I'll continue to win here at Weber State. And maybe he will. Maybe he just wins, wins, and wins. Maybe he never does have two or three losing seasons where you lose the ability to turn down some of these bigger offers.
Yeah.
But eventually, you got to take one.
Yeah, eventually you do. And double or tripling your salary certainly doesn't hurt along the way as well. Look, I think, and again, I need people to know I am speculating when I say this, okay? Because they do know I have ties to the program, but please know I'm just speculating. But Liberty's athletic director has a lot of ties to Baylor. You know who else has ties to Baylor? That would be, you know, none other than Blake Anderson. Liberty could make a run of Blake Anderson and talk about, you know, triple or quadrupling your salary. Liberty could do that in a minute. And if I'm Jay Hill, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, my former athletic director is now the interim athletic director at Utah State. Maybe I want to hold back a little bit and not be a coordinator, but become a head coach at the power or the group of five level.
Because it seems like he'd be a shoe-in for that job.
Now, again, I'm just speculating. I know that Blake Anderson is tight with a lot of people that are running that Liberty program. I don't know if Liberty's interested in Blake Anderson. I don't know if Blake Anderson would be interested in Liberty. I'm just saying that's how things, you know, people like to go after guys that they have relationships with and they trust and they know. And Blake Anderson, I don't care that Utah State's 6-6. That might be the best coaching job in America, considering all the injuries that the Aggies went through and all the other issues that they had to deal with this year. I mean, he kept that team together with duct tape and bailing twine all season long, with a lot of true freshmen not having a clue what they're doing, running out on that field against Boise, and they still had a chance to win that game with 90 seconds
left. Gave up two late scores that made it uneven, but up until that point, they were very much in that game. I still thought, 5 minutes left, I still thought they were going to win that game.
Yeah. Well, he was there for the second.
He's a very good coach. Liberty would be lucky to get him.
Yep, I do too. And again, let me just preface,
No, you're drawing parallels.
I'm just drawing on how, if I'm Jay Hill, what I'm thinking right now, because, you know.
Well, okay, let me put you in his shoes. What would you rather have? BYU's defensive coordinating position, headed into the Big 12, becoming a Power 5 brand. As things continue to realign,
yeah,
I still think that there's a lot to shake out, or taking a head coaching job with Utah State.
Well, I think the money would be Well, Utah State's paying over $1 million.
Yeah, the
for a
contract
head coaching
would
job.
Be better because head coaching job you're going to get 5 years probably.
Yeah,
DC you're probably going to get 2.
Yeah, and once you get a taste of being a head coach, I got to imagine as much as I'm sure he loves and respects Kalani, it's got to be hard to go from being the man making every decision to being a, well, you know, here's our game plan, coach. What do you think of it? You know, this is our plan.
But, well, I was going to say, but he could still be hired from that coordinating position. But you're saying, I mean, if Liberty makes a run, we're talking about that job
being
opening
right
now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, look, if he's got no other offers to be a head coach, then yeah, I'd go be the defensive coordinator at BYU. Absolutely. But I'm saying if you have to choose like right now what you're going to do.
Holy cow. Well, BYU can't wait around for Blake Anderson to make a decision.
Yeah. I feel like somebody on Twitter, or some message board, like Scott Gerard and Anza reporting to Blake. No.
Drawing parallels. Yes. Please take
We're
it for what it is.
Just throwing out hypothetical situations. Yeah.
Surface conversation because Hugh Freeze just took the Auburn job, opening up that Liberty job. And it's not just those jobs that I think would be appealing to him. There's a few.
Yeah.
You know, Cincinnati's out there. You mentioned Tulsa was out there.
Yeah.
Alabama Birmingham is out there.
Yeah.
These are all open jobs that I'm sure would love to make a run at him.
Yeah.
Or at least would have him on their radar.
Yeah. All right. We've got already way too long. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, you guys are helping a lot of guys out there. And I'm sure I can't imagine the success stories you hear and from relationships that frankly have been saved because of what you do at Wasatch Medical.
Yeah. And that's the underestimated part of this whole conversation around ED. Guys, a lot of times we'll start avoiding intimate situations. They'll just ignore the problem. And then that can roll over into relationship issues with the significant other, thinking possibly they're not as attractive as they used to be. Whatever the case may be, that is a possibility if guys are not getting their ED treated. And at Wasatch Medical Clinic, not only do we want to treat your ED, we want to treat the root cause of your ED. Guys are used to the pills. The pills obviously come with timing issues, potential side effects, which can get in the way. At Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have a new technology for the treatment of ED, and it's called acoustic wave therapy.
801-901-8000. The assessment is free. There's a lot of free that you offer when you come in here.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of free. And the other thing is, guys, what you have to understand with this acoustic wave therapy, there is no pain. There is no downtime. This is a non-invasive procedure. We have a device, small device, placed on the skin that delivers gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels, helps to open up those blood vessels, and that gives you an increase in blood flow where and when you need it the most, giving a spontaneity back into the relationship as well. But yes, call now, 801-901-8000. You will get the exam, the assessment, and even the blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. And that's one, guys, you will like. But give us a call now, 801-901-8000.
Changing lives here, Mark.
There you go. You bet.
That's Mark from Wasatch Medical, 801-901-8000. Unrivaled next, right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.